We have created an association or a nonprofit organization in Costa Rica. And the name is Patmos Latinoamerica. And you can see the webpage at patmoslatam.org. Phone numbers are there. And we have a small industry called Celestial Foods. Celestial Foods is what helps us come here. If we didn't have Celestial Foods, probably wouldn't be here. Because it's where we are able to have an impact with the community and at the same time generate some funds for us. You have information there. You'll see another one of those at the end. Well, that's my wife and I in California. As I was working for, I'm an engineer by profession, and I was working for Republic Services in one of their landfills. And in the landfill, I was the engineer in charge, and I met some Mennonites. And these Mennonites had some homes outside of the city. And I was going through this in my mind about moving out, but we were living in the middle of San Fernando Valley, which is, yes, population, okay? And I was traveling from the San Fernando Valley out to the landfill and back. And after a while of me doing that, I started figuring out, hey, didn't God say that we're supposed to do the other way around? So I went out and looked for a piece of land outside, and then I started traveling in and going out instead of traveling out and coming in. You know, landfills are not usually in the middle of the city. They're on the outskirts. So we received kind of call working at the landfill. The company got sold. So I got sold with the company. And when I was going through the middle of things, I knew that God wanted me to do something else, because 6 months earlier from that time, the Lord has put in my heart that I needed to quit the job. And I said, I can't quit the job. I have 3 kids and a wife. How can I do that? You know, but if it is your will, take it away from me. I did pray. And of course, the story is over. When I said that, the Lord made, I know it was God who made all the changes to happen, because I see his hand as we were moving along. So May 13th, 2009, we came to Yuchi Pines. And so many of you did see this mobile home out there. We brought it in. Okay, it was us in 2009 who drove in with it. There's a story behind that too. My girls, very little, when we came here, here we are at the, what was the cafeteria at the end over here on the left. That used to be the cafeteria, and we used to come there all the time. My girls here are 3 and 5. Is that what they are? No, 1.5 and 3. About that age is when we came. 3 and 5 is when we left from here. Okay, so I'm going to try and move along a little bit, because what happened here is we got dedicated at UT Pines. And the dedication was to go do God's work. You never know what it is that God calls you to do, but we had a conversation in December 2010 when the conference was here in Atlanta. You guys remember? In GC. And in Atlanta, we met the pastor for the South in South Central Mission in Costa Rica. So he called us to go. So we made plans, got on the phone, made conversations, and on April 2011, it was April 5, we flew from Costa Rica, from the States to Costa Rica. And on the 6th, I was to have a meeting with this pastor. But when I arrived there, I lost all my clothes. We sold our car here so we could pay for the trip, bought some clothes, and I lost my clothes. I'm glad my wife and the kids didn't. But my bag, Whatever we spent for me, it was all gone. And I never claimed it or anything. I just let it go. And I did have a bag of charcoal. That's why we are putting this picture there. Because we started learning about small industry with a bag of charcoal in need of being able to produce something so that we can survive in a land that's my land. I'm from Costa Rica. I grew up there. Okay, but I had been away from Costa Rica for so many years. I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody from the church. I don't know anybody from, I barely know my family, okay? And that's the setting where we're at. So we started doing charcoal, whatever you want to call them, little packs there, you know? And we were selling those and teaching people because nobody knew anything about charcoal in Costa Rica. So there is Abby helping us out with the charcoal. So I'm going to skip this one because this is the first school that we did. But I'm going to introduce you to the pastor that I was talking about just a second ago. This is Pastor Vallejo. This is Pastor Vallejo there. We're together in the first school that we were doing. He's the one that I met over here. Frank, a person who I didn't know at the time, came over here to visit Monica Muy. I don't know how many of you remember Monica. And he came to visit Monica. And Monica tells him, oh, there's a guy from Costa Rica here. And that's how I met Frank. Okay, Monica introduces me to Frank. And Frank takes me to GC. And at GC, I meet Pastor Vallejo. And Pastor Vallejo is all interested in the health message. Go, let's go do it. In reality, he wasn't all that involved with the health message, but he did want the people to come and teach more about health in Costa Rica. We're going to move fast among this because we did 7 one-month schools. So you see over here Shaniel. Shaniel Fisher is well-known around here. Ms. Medina, which is the lady in the middle there holding one of my girls, she was from Honduras, and she came to help us on the first school. We didn't have a car, so we had to do some traveling by bus. My wife giving a cooking class. The first group graduates. We go to Pérez Celedón in 2011. This is all, we arrived there in April. In July, we have the first school. We went to the meeting. We had a prayer of dedication that, yes, we had the blessing from the conference to go do this. But that was the last time I talked to him until July. He never got involved with us. It was really a miracle that we were able to move through the ropes and get people in. When they received 26 people for a one-month school, full-time, 8 in the morning until 5 in the afternoon, they were so surprised. I can't believe this. How did you get so many people in here? We were doing it at the conference, South Central in Costa Rica. Then we moved to Pérez Celedón. That was the second location, July, November, the same year. Okay, and there we go, doing the school. That's massage, that's the people that graduated. That's the third school right there, 2012, January. They were pretty close to each other. Okay, January, the light school was in a location in San Jose at the high school, that is a Seventh-day Adventist high school in Costa Rica. Okay, we had 38 students. Some of the people came from the universities and from the close areas. Okay, so we had a bunch of people doing this course. We have the lady, would you like to take the story about Virginia? Huh? Okay, Doña Virginia was she's 80 some years old when she's doing this. And she learned to use the stethoscope. So we're having her there do the BP, and she was great. She could handle herself very well, and I mean, it was very impressive to see her come in as an elderly and participate with the group
like a pro.
So there's lots of stories. When you go through these things, well, one of these guys that was coming to the class had a problem with HIV. And actually he passed on later. It was a big spiritual struggle, and as we were befriending the people that were coming in, there was a growing experience that happened. It's always good to see how the hand of the Lord works with people through you as you are participating in these events. This is the group that graduated from there, July 2012, Central South again. And that's the fourth school. We do it again at the mission. And we're doing the school again. That was the dedication day. The group was small. We had about 12 people here. Then there were groups of people telling us that they didn't, why didn't we do something that they could go to? Because our schools were 8 to 5 in the morning, from 8 in the morning to 5 in the afternoon, and they were working. So we did a three-month school to do a one-month seminar with them. So we would do it in the evenings. It was Saturday, Sunday, and Tuesdays and Thursdays. I don't remember exactly the full days, but something like that was the schedule. 2 days during the week in the evenings and a couple of days in the weekend. So we would come together. But we found out that it was very difficult for these people to actually be present all the time with us. So we are persistent, because if you commit to doing one of these efforts, you don't back out. You just go for it, okay? The Lord has a plan we don't understand. And some nights we had less than four people in the class. And we would just go on and continue delivering the course. Okay? Then that's the group that came out of that. We had some really interesting people, though. We had a lot of support to get started with doing some efforts that we weren't doing at the time. We were able to get into a little bit more of the industry side. We'll get more deeper into that. That's the seventh school in February of 2014 in Cartago, a nearby province of San Jose, the capital. And after that, we also have been influencing not only Costa Rica, but the neighboring country, Nicaragua. Nicaragua, we got invited with one of the groups that came for one of those schools. And we had Pastor Vargas, which was the president, invite to go do two cities. One was Matagalpa, and the other one was Chinandega. Matagalpa and Chinandega, we had one-week schools there. So we have the different locations where we actually came in. Then we went back to Costa Rica. In Costa Rica, we continued to do, after all this movement of doing one-month schools, every one-month school would do one health expo. So as we were doing the health expo, more people were getting involved from the churches, and they wanted training. And the presidents of the areas and the secretary of the union, who was also the health departmental for the union, would be interested in us training their individuals. So we started doing some training, and we got a lot of little courses going. Instead of doing the 1 month and bringing people from the outside, in between us, we would do these things. And sometimes we would bring one person to help us from another location. We found people in Costa Rica that had been trained. So we've used those people. And in other circumstances, we even used pastors to deliver some of the courses that we were presenting. And that started generating a union between us, forming friendships with leadership, the union, the conference. And this has been fundamental in the success that we can call to have had in Costa Rica. I'm going to let my wife do this section.
Well, as he said, maybe you just
Okay, with the health expos all around the country, you saw there more than 250 health expos being done in schools with the kids, in malls where we are going, where we saw more than 300 or 500 people. We used to have around 100 people as a team to help us do these things. Wonderful testimonies we saw there. This at the mall. We have more in the Pacific, in the Caribbean side. This is by the beach. And we even went to an island where we struggle a lot to get to our mobile to be transported to the other side. But it was a big blessing having the people there. These people doesn't really know what nutrition is. Maybe the only thing they know is sunshine. And so it was hard sometimes to teach them how to eat well, where, you know, the only source of eating is fish, not even lettuce. So it was interesting, but they were very, you know, interesting to learn more. This is at the Caribbean side too. You see there is just a little picture so you can have the idea. There is no place in Costa Rica or the how the Providence is how they call, imagine the states. You know, the different state, they call it Providence. And so health expos have been in all around the country, and even in Nicaragua and also in Panama. And I think this is all about the health expos. You have the second part?
Are you going to explain that?
Okay, yes, I was going to explain this. This is our, how you call it in English?
Logo.
Logo is the same? Okay. So in order for us to have this name, we spend a lot of hours with a couple that help us a lot. And what we got here is, I mean, the whole message that we, the majority of us, I think, know about it, that from the hand of God, you saw the four, that this has a light. I don't know, no. What did I do? I touched something that I shouldn't touch.
Well, what it means with the logo is that we have the hand of God covering the effort. And you see the agricultural men working the outside. But the city, you can see it right behind. So that's where you want to be, is outside of the city. And working the land so that you can come into the city to do your part. That's mostly of the idea with the logo.
So we had there, okay, we had it. We had there the different colors. We just know that we have the council working with health. That's our red color. Well, I'm going to start with the blue. There's the evangelism. Then is agriculture, I'm sorry, and health, the red, and then is the small industry. And as Diego said, we believe in working out of the cities, but live out of the cities, but also work the cities. So this is what our logo in Patmos, actually it's in Spanish, but I'm going to let Diego at the end tell you what that means. So I'm going to go ahead and pass, see if it's work. Okay, how many of you know ASI? So we have ASI in Inter-America, the Inter-American Division. And on that year, I think it was 2015, around that, they decided to come and do the meeting in Costa Rica. So when we knew about that and we were invited because they knew we had something else to present, so we all worked trying to put what we had at that time as a small or the beginning of the small industry. It was there when our name was born, Celestial Foods. And so we brought our products there along with the books. And a lot of people was interested because we're the only ones in the whole Inter-American as ASI presenting such a you know, thing like that, health booth. And so it was a big impression. I'm going to show you, I don't know if you, yeah, you can look at the jars there and the tags that we have. It is totally different for what we have right now. It was growing. People was getting interested of what are you doing? What is this? But the time we had the curls, you know, the soy curls, Butler soy curls. Yes. And we had, of course, the charcoal. I started making the cheese. It's a nut cheese. And actually, we call it, you know, nuez. You know, nuez in Spanish, is, in English, is nut. So, and sometimes to say no es is nut. You said nuez. So we got that combination of nuez, but meaning nut. So nut that you eat the nut. So the nut cheese, maybe you won't get it because it's just in Spanish. It's the same in English, nut. So people was interested, what is this? It's nut cheese? I go, no, it's nut cheese, but it's made from nut. So they will get nuts. So this is the package that we had before. And eventually we changed it. I start making these oatmeal patties. We got the white thing like a sour cream made out of soy. All this is totally vegetarian. The cheddar cheese made out of potatoes and carrots. The cheese, we had two different kinds like the American and the mozzarella. And so people got very interested. We used to go, we're invited to go different kind of cooking classes and also the vegan fairs. How many of you have you heard about vegan fairs around here? Yeah, not many. Well, in Costa Rica, we found out there is a big group of people that is into the vegan diet. Of course, their philosophy is different for, you know, from the one we have. But it was the place where our products got very famous. We were the very first ones to get the nut cheese or the vegan cheese that actually it melts. And it's not artificial. And so people will get interested into know more, not only about the products, but what are you doing? Why are you doing this? So this is my cheese, and it looks real, isn't it? And it tastes good. It's not because I make it, but it tastes good. And so we have tried in pizzas and chiladas and chile rellenos. It melts very good. And so here you see different kind of meals together and the uses. And actually, our cheese, I'm sure Diego is going to expand a little bit more of this. But we have a restaurant that, a vegan restaurant, where weekly they are asking us, they're buying like 20 pounds each week because they use it for their pizzas. So, yes, and I'm going to let Diego to continue with this.
The small industry is a very important part of a ministry. When we got started and we were trying to do things in Costa Rica, I started visiting with Amazing Facts, trying to get Amazing Facts to come and do an evangelistic school in Costa Rica. And at the beginning, they had offered so many things. You know, oh, we're going to give you this, and we're going to give you that. And as I started getting involved with them, they were telling me the stories that they did some efforts in Ukraine, and they did some efforts in other locations, and people weren't responding the way they were supposed to. So as we were moving along through time, the idea of helping us to get a location and do the evangelistic school kind of died down. Okay, but I'm still in contact with them. We do also ministries with evangelism with books, and we do ministries with foods, and as you have been hearing here. So the book, the recipe book, how many are familiar with 10 talents? We use 10 talents to show around people. You know, the thing down there is that you have the 10 talents book, but they don't have the ingredients. So you're in trouble. So my idea was, oh, let's get in with the ingredients. So we started bringing the ingredients that were related to the 10-talent book. And little by little, as people bought them, and where would I get this? Well, just buy them from us. You know, that was a very easy way to get them involved with us. Then we got Remedies. What's the name of the Remedies book from? Natural Remedies Encyclopedia, yeah. That one also, we started getting it out, and that's a very easy way to get involved with natural medicine from a book perspective. You can open up the book and get educated little by little, even not knowing anything from anybody. But little by little, you are introduced into the health message. These things work very nicely with people. The whole idea is to get involved with people. You know, many times we don't know what to do. We're just at home. And yeah, we can get a phone call, go help the lady at church that has a need. But when you go out and knock at a door and find people, you know how we got started with the soy curls in Costa Rica? I brought 60 boxes. It was a full pallet. Nobody knows anything about soy curls in Costa Rica, okay? We pack it, and one by one, we went to the people to teach them that they could use a soy product that's non-GMO and grown organically and use the whole bean. You know, because most of these products they don't use the whole bean. They, after a process, they use the leftovers to make the little soy meats. So it's not the same taste. Little things like this started popping up, and little by little we got involved with more areas and more areas. Now on the book side, when I was working with Pastor Vallejo, that he left me alone, I told you at the beginning, remember? Well, the cold boarding ministry's lady found out that there was a new guy in town that knew something about health. So she came to us and told me, well, can you teach these things in public? Yeah, of course, that's what I'm here for. You know, so she started taking me to the banks and to the schools. And to, I did over 100 presentations the first year. It was 2 and 3 times a week out there knocking at doors, helping them out. I used to do cold porting in the past, but I didn't get involved in the selling side because they were the cold porters. I was just the presenter. So they would take me, but I would know how to do a little clothes or things like, of that nature to get people involved. So they would sell some, and they would help us to maintain ourselves. You know, at the beginning, it was kind of difficult to have funds to be able to carry on life. Costa Rica is not cheap. You know, if you go down there, you're going to find out that it's very expensive to go to the stores. It's 3 times the price than over here when you go to the supermarket, okay? You go to the supermarket there, you're going to spend 2 to 3 times more than you do over here. Okay, so it's not easy. But when you're doing things for the Lord protects your interest, or his interest too. You are his interest. Well, on the agriculture side, we had a little project going, and we used oxen to open up the field because it was, as you see the green in the back, that's how it was there, but we used the oxes to pull through the, how do you call this thing? That you roll through the dirt and open up the dirt. Right, and we would break through the ground, and with the people, we started doing the efforts to move along. We prepared the land and got some seeds in and protected the area a little bit as much as we could, but we didn't do much. We saw the hand of God protecting that land. It was amazing because we did our little efforts, but we had so much production, it was amazing. You'll see... we didn't use it for ourselves as much. We were trying to give to others. And the little farm where we were at belonged to a Seventh-day Adventist couple of ladies. They were sisters. And they had 10 hectares. That's about 25 acres. And they were only lending us 1,000 meters, which is about 1/4 acre. Okay? So in this 1/4 acre, we were... just doing lots of efforts. If we had a lot of people there, we could have done a lot more and grow. The big issue with the efforts we do is usually there's lack of unity among the people. If people came in together and worked together and made efforts together, we would be able to get a lot more done than we do nowadays. We see here more of the same. We have one I want to talk about here. I think it's this one. See on this corn? We have one, two, three, four. Four corns in one plant, or how do you call it? Stalk. Okay? So that was unlikely. We got so many of those, it was very impressive. And, well, we did carrots and perejil. How do you say perejil in English? The parsley, cilantro. Anyways, you can see those there. These ones, we would get them by, we didn't even try. Those things would come up all over the place. It was amazing. Okay? And we were able to eat healthy and teach others how to eat healthy and help a lot of people with this. I mean, it was hard to get the program going, but it was between, at the beginning it's very difficult, three or four of you, you wish you had 20 people there to be able to open up the ground and get the thing going. That was the hardest. It's very discouraging when you are reaching to a point and you don't get anywhere, you don't have any fruits. But when you start getting the harvest out, it makes a lot of sense. Well, we made an attempt to build a treatment room, and when we moved into Costa Rica, we went into the city. We didn't have anywhere else to go, so we were in a house that belonged to my aunt. When we were there, we were in the middle of the city. We were hearing things on the streets about people being persecuted or violence or things of this nature, and. As the days went by, we were able to find a location where to go outside of the city. But we spent about 2 years there. And in the time, we were able to gather some things, like an oven and some bathtubs. We were intending to build a treatment room with the bathtubs. So we found a location that belonged to another Adventist man. We've been working with the Adventist people there as much as we can. We're trying to get the church group to work together, to unify. I don't know how much to put an emphasis on becoming more united as a people. I know that it is a hard task, because when two people don't see eye to eye, they tend to give their backs and they never see each other again. Okay? This is not God's way. We should be making an effort to communicate and to come together and to work things out. Well, we had a hard experience here because we went in. This is it's a warehouse. It has a second level, but we were just using the lower part there. You can see the entrance there. This is the inside. As you can see, it was all empty. We started doing some building, but we were taking a shower in that shower for a little bit over a year, I think. And so it wasn't the nicest location, but we were able to change it a little bit, and we started building around, and we're able to set a couple of tubs to do the hot and cold contrast. And we had a two room areas, and if you put a little wall in between those two, you had two settings for two different people. Anyway. What happened there is we got into a disagreement with the owner, and he didn't want to follow through with what he had said. We went to the municipality to try and get some permits, and we couldn't get the permits out. So we had to back out of making the effort, even though we had done some progress on the location. But from there, we started going to other locations. This is after these efforts, I mean, Patmos started to organize itself. This is really when Patmos started. At the beginning, we didn't have the organization. We've been organized for 3 years now, and we're making efforts to continue to grow. So there is more opportunities to work with government, getting other benefits for imports and for other goods that you can get working with the country as a nonprofit organization. And they want you to have 3 years. So we just completed the 3 years this July. So we're looking forward to some improvement in those areas. Costa Rica has the three areas are, this is what they call south, but south is to this side. North on the Atlantic is the Caribbean, and then we have the north, which is this other side towards Nicaragua. So in the north, they actually have one location there that is like built to be a sanatorium or a school. It already has 8 big buildings. They have 10 hectares. We have been finding out all this location in Costa Rica that they have already done some efforts in moving forward with a health message. But most people, what they're needing is people to go there. Over here, this is a Jaco area. This belongs to the south. And the one we were building is in the Caribbean side. Another one I showed you there. Actually, we had, that's the three areas. This is the great metropolitan area, which we are intending to work the most, because we figure out that working the city, this is the largest area of city. So we've been working with people here. We have over 150 people trained from the 7 schools we did with LIGHT. And we have, I don't know, about 250 people that are that know how to do the health expos. So we have efforts with the health expos and efforts with different locations. We are influencing lots of people because we're not only doing the church, we're doing the vegan world at the same time. And bringing the products in gives us an opportunity to come across individuals that actually are in need of knowing more about the Lord. In one scenario, one Buddhist lady referred us to another young girl that was coming from China, a Costa Rican. And as I was there with this lady, she was, I don't know, maybe 23 years old or something like this. And I come in with the products, and I always go into the 8 laws with them, because we're telling them, what are the reasons you're ordering food that is healthy? Usually they're going through some medical need. And when you are able to come to them and share with them a little bit, so it happened that week when I was giving the product to this lady, there was an event going at the church right there. And we were able to get her to go into the church scenario and she actually got baptized. But I don't think it was done in the right way, because pastors were looking at a number in their books instead of a person to take care of. And being that she was so new, it became a difficult experience. Okay. This is when, because of all these efforts that we have been doing throughout the country, we felt the need of getting more people involved. We've been doing, we started doing quarterly efforts, but then little by little, they became more than 3 months to 4 and 6 months separation, and even once it went over for a year. But we keep bringing people to do these health presentations over there, and more people come because of that. The new people, the people that are with us already, are bringing newer people to come and continue. So having efforts like this, where you do a quarterly effort, is a great idea to be able to move forward in the country little by little. In doing that, we invited UC Pines to come with a big program like we did. You all, I don't know how much you are familiar with the thing, but I think Dr. Mark presented on that, and I've heard some really good testimonies from some of you. But the issue here is that this thing just grows and grows when you are continually doing an effort. At the beginning, when we were in Costa Rica, this pastor that invited us, he opened up the door, and we were able to come in. And we started the move. We had the 26 people on the first school, and then we had 12 on the other, and 38. And, well, we ended up with 150 people that went through this one-month school. But there was a bad side to this. The same pastor that invited us started talking bad about us because he was saying that we were extreme because we don't live the same way some of them do, you know? So the pastor was with this mind frame that we could probably be something that they didn't want to see in the church. But because I didn't even listen to those things. When I found out, it was through other people. And what we did is we just continued moving forward and showing the people that we didn't talk against the church. We made efforts to keep the groups together. And we were always consistent in the message of health. So after a while, all this mumbling that went around died down. And today we have full support. That took about from the second year to the fourth year, it was really, really difficult. But after the fourth year, now the same people that talked wrong about us, I mean, they came in, and they haven't apologized or anything like that, but you walked into their scenarios, and they bring you into their groups. They're trying to get the people to come to the seminars that we do. They're making efforts to be a part with us. And so a big thing is to stay persistent as you continue the effort with others. Never give up. You have to continue knowing that the Lord is in control at the end of the day. Well, so we have the seminar here. And in the seminar, we are able to go to the union and do a presentation the first day. This was a big thing for us because I had so many president pastors that were kind of not sure if they should give us a hand or help us out in their areas. You know, we're talking about two countries here, Nicaragua and Costa Rica. There's the union, UCAS, UCAS is called, and it's Nicaragua and Costa Rica are the two. At the beginning when we got there, Panama was included, but Panama became its own union now. So now we have Costa Rica and Nicaragua alone. But just the fact that we were there and we spoke to all the presidents of Nicaragua and Costa Rica, that opened so many doors. It's really nice. We're able to do the presentations in the different locations. This is the Atillo location in San Jose. That's the Central South. We also did the North area at the university. The Seventh-day Adventist University opened up the doors for the doctors to come in. And here we are. This is the health departmental for the South. Dr. Frank, he's a dentist. And there is more of the gymnasium. We had about 300 to 400 people in that location. This is one of the breakfasts on how to overcome diabetes naturally. That was a really interesting subject because we did it at a restaurant for pay, you know, and we got full. It was just, people were calling and calling about getting another space. We had to break down the tables and put the chairs in so that people could sit in rows with the chairs because the tables wouldn't handle the amount of people that we were having. And still, we had to tell people that we didn't have space for them. So this is another program at the university, the radio station in Costa Rica. We had a program on what was the program about here? Was on hypertension, that's correct. And teaching hypertension to the public through the radio, and it was a very well conducted effort. We had people from Panama. How many of you know? You'll see a little bit. We have a little story here to tell about Mauricio and Melissa. Mauricio and Melissa are the ones who opened up their location for us to do an effort there. But as we moved along, we would, since January, we planned to have this effort in June, which just happened. And we have different groups of people. We've been working with groups of from one church or another to come and bring their church group to help us do some construction on the location that we were building. So we were able to get the floors in and the wooden side and then the concrete side. We were we brought a guy from Honduras that would come and help us daily. He stayed at the location for 3 or 4 months doing efforts. We have the guy that was doing the wood, all the framing. And these are all pictures there we are all taking part of, throwing mix in. In reality, these pictures are not fair because I only took a bunch that I had in an area and I wasn't able to prepare with all the little groups that came and helped. But we had so many groups like that first one that showed up from the Caribbean. They came and helped about 3 or 4 times on weekends. We would get a lot of efforts like this happening. At the end, that's the location that is built today. And actually, right there in the picture, we haven't finished it yet. But the inside today is all pretty much complete. This is where we're coming in after we finish this effort with the event that we planned with Yuchi Pines. So we got a full location. We had about 300 people, 200, not 250 people was the number they gave me. So we had the presentations there, a little bit of hydrotherapy, Dr. Horsley, and how many of you know Sister Sally Gomez? There is Sister Sally doing a little bit of hydrotherapy also. And well, basically, we were able to do a lot of effort, and I have more to say about that, but we're going to get into the industry side with my wife. We have about 5 minutes, so you want to tell the story really fast?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to make a point that I think is where we are going to finish with is we are doing a lot of efforts with the small industry, but a lot of people have asked us, who pay your flight tickets to come to the States, because to travel 5 persons is not that cheap. And so we said Celestial Foods. And so, but it's not only about money, even though, yes, God has blessed us a lot. But the point is that every time we sell a product, something like this, there is a message behind it. Like, for example, this is like coffee substitute that I made out of barley. And so in Costa Rica, we have one, they call it Setevedi, it's from the Union. And they made one out of
corn.
And people doesn't like it. And so this lady, her name is Maricela, and is the mother of one of the ladies, of one of the girls that is helping us. When Dr. Mark and Dr. Horsley had these consults with these people in need, she came and she was having heart problems, hypertension, sleep apnea, and I don't know if you remember how many more things she had. And every time Dr. Mark will say, you need to do this, 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 and this. She will go, I know that. And Dr. Mark will say, well, it's good for you to know, but if you don't do anything, it doesn't do any good. So she will repeat it, I know it. And he will say the same. So after that, one of her problems was the coffee. And so I found out that she was addicted to the coffee because she was drinking it for 12 years. So when she came to the meeting with the doctor, to the consult, you know, he said everything that she needed to cut. And so she did the changes. And so she tried, she told Kathy, our friend, I am not going to be able to leave my coffee. So I said, introduce to the barley drink. And so she did. And she quit coffee after 12 years. So she quit cheese, the eggs, and the milk, and the coffee. And after 2 weeks doing these changes, oh, she felt so better. So it's praise God, she has changed. And she said now she's addicted to the barley drink.
Well, we have many other products, as you can see there. We showed this. These are the ones we are producing ourselves. Some of them we buy and we turn around, or some we import. So we have three types: the ones we import from the States into Costa Rica, the ones we produce ourselves, and the ones that we buy from there because we need them for any recipe that we do. Say cheese, we use the cashew nut. So I have to buy cashew nuts. So what's better, to buy 1 kilo of cashew nuts or 15? For pricing, it's better to buy 15. Okay, so we have to buy 15 and we start selling the other. You know, we're turning it around. So that's what we've been doing with some of these products. And so we start turning things around, and it brings a benefit to us that is double. One, to make the recipe, we're able to eat healthy, and we eat healthy cheaper. So we always have food at home. If you want to come to Costa Rica and do a little bit of effort with us, we'll always give you some food and a place where to sleep, okay? The cheese, we already talked about that one. We have sunflower seeds, sesame seeds, the charcoal. We're making our own granola. You can see it there on the right. And we have also the soy kernels, which, you know, we buy the bulk thing. And because we buy the bulk thing, we get a little bit of leftover that is broken. And we're able to get the broken out, and we turn it around also. We do our own packing and label, and we've done all with permits through the city and all these things that are needed. Our peanut butter is only peanuts, so no hydrogenated oil, no nothing of this nature. We're doing just the best we can for the people, and we tell them that every time. So people are getting to know us because we are giving them the best product they can find in the market, and they are talking about us. I mean, we have people from different religions, different creeds, completely unbelievable thoughts that I don't know where they come from. But all these people are getting curious about who are these people? What are they doing this? We are looking forward to opening a small restaurant. We're talking to a family. We're always working with Seventh-day Adventists. So when we're doing efforts, we're working with Adventist people that are curious about these things, okay? This person has a location that he has already permitted for a restaurant, but he has opened it 2 or 3 times, and they're doing nothing with it. They're not making any money. So we're talking about joining in with them and making an effort to open up. If we use the name Celestial Foods and we start throwing good, healthy food out, I believe that place will fill up. Here we have a couple of the people that are helping us. We have the room. This is the room where we kind of walk into the location. We have all the A-Law banners up on the side. So people that come in, they get a little presentation of the A-Laws all the time. These two are two different stories. This is the man that came from Honduras to help us. And this is a Costa Rican guy who was an Adventist for a long time, but he has separated from the church. And then I met him when he made the decision to quit his job because he was working on Sabbath. So he stopped working on Sabbath. So I gave him, I opened up the door to help him out. He says, hey, I don't have employees. I tell him, we have volunteers and we help you fulfill your needs because we use this fulfilling needs as a base of work. Okay, so the principles are mixing with people, doing good, being sympathetic, and satisfying people's needs. That's your part of being a friend. Now you have to gain the confidence of the other and bring him to the Lord, right? This is what we're supposed to do. So that's what we do in our own ministry also. People that come in, we satisfy their needs. They need food, they need to pay a bill, they need to pay If it's within our means, we do it. We try to bring them in to make them a part of the effort, and then they start responding on their own. We try to make them independent. That's the whole purpose of this effort of being self-supportive. We need to make people independent so that they can do on their own with the Lord the effort that the Lord is calling them to do. So this is how we are working with people. The guy from Honduras, he's going back to Honduras. He's taking the products and he's trying to open up his own little industry down there. We're trying to get permits with him in Honduras. We have an opportunity in Panama, and we have an opportunity. I mean, I could continue to tell you so many stories. My time is up. But we have also Jose Pablo and Kathy. These two, they were the first couple that came to work with us. And they were boyfriend and girlfriend, not understanding the principles. And when they learned the principles, they separated from each other. You know, not that they were living together or anything like that. They were just used to the hug and the kiss early, okay? So they backed out, and they gave the scenario, and they were with us working for about 6 months to a year before they got married. And they were always worried about being alone. No, don't leave us alone. Don't. So that was very nice to see when you're putting into practice what you're teaching along the effort. And they are our left and right hand here for the effort. They are the ones taking care of the place for this month that we've been out. And this couple are going to be joining us in January full time. So the effort continues there, and we can actually go and do something somewhere else. But I don't know that that's what's going to happen, but we could if that was the case. That's them in Limon when we were closing down. And needs for the ministry. Well, what we really need is counsels to the ministry, people that work with you. You know, when you start doing these efforts of generating a small industry, of doing some agriculture, of talking about health, and taking education to the people, you can't do this alone. You need people that know. We need people to help each other. We need to make more committees and efforts to work together. This is the basic need we really have. The Lord, well, we have a lot of problems. You know, my car, I haven't had a good car in 6 years, okay? I mean, I continue to take it to get fixed and to take it to get fixed. I had to spend so much money so that I was making sure that the car was running for this month that I walked away, and it went to the revision or the technical revision that they do in the state. It didn't pass, okay? And these are needs that we are having, but land is another need that we have. Working with the people, Mauricio and Melissa, and educating them as to making a decision to give their land to the Lord. You know, we're nobody to come and tell them to sign a piece of paper in our name. That's not what we do. I want them to be involved in the program. So they need to be educated. We need a six-month school to prepare a mission mind in the countries. We need efforts for people to come together and do efforts together. This is what we are trying to do. The strong small industry is always very important because this is what will make you subsist as the days go by. And the Lord has promised that He will never let you down. He will always protect your interest and His interest for the people. He will work in your character, in the character of others. And this is all we are attempting to do in Costa Rica. Now, we have a lot of plans to grow and continue. Actually, in this trip, I have a 501c3 nonprofit organization in Florida called Maranatha Health and Life, who are making an effort to come together and work with us as to being able to handle some of this business in the States also. So we are trying to establish a distributorship in the States so that we can send products with missionaries to the countries so that we can start generating more mission instead of more money. What we need is an effort to work together. people that have ability to work coconuts or work whatever it is that you are able to do, the Lord will use it. And you can go and preach the word because the Lord is about to come. We need to turn around our lives and go do the effort the Lord wants us to do. Okay? We have a location that we have spotted out. They're selling it for $1.5 million right now. But it's in the bank on foreclosure. So the expectation is that in a couple of months, this location will be sold for about $250,000 to $400,000. So a property that is $1.5 million, I'm going to show you really quick. They have an entrance. It's all paved up like this, and it reaches the house, which is up in the top. You can see the house up there, and I'm at the entrance right here. Okay? It has a nice setting for a restaurant, and inside is like a hotel. It has some areas with hot and cold sections. I don't know why they put them there. I do. Anyways, we are kind of thinking that this location could be very nice for us to have. But we are just putting this thing before the Lord's hands because we never know how things will work for us. But this is what we are doing. I know that if we're able to have a location, this location is about 10 kilometers or 15, between 10 and 15 kilometers from the location where we're at right now. We're already outside of the city, on the top of the hill, looking at the city. Okay, and we've been working the city. But if we were able to get this location, we'll be even a little bit further out with 2 hectares, which is about, I think it's between 2 and 3 hectares, between 5 and 8 acres. And it lends itself so much to do more agriculture, more small industry, more education systems where we can bring more people to do a 1-month school and a 6-month school in the location. And we're just placing our needs before the Lord's hands. And we have needs for the industry. We have needs for people and council. And the biggest need, I think, is for the church to come together in unity to make the effort for the Lord together. May the Lord bless you, and I thank you.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.